This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for a film which, I don't know, is a weird release structure. So it comes out officially in Australia on June 24th. So big thanks to Sean Collins for the advanced screening that we got to go to, the Perth premiere during the week. But thanks, I also see it's on at Reading this weekend from like 10th to the 16th before it goes away and comes back on the 24th.
Is that so?
Yeah. So there's some weird release structure going on here for...
I think in the States it's like next week or something? Or is it... I don't know. I don't know.
So it's either The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard or Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard because the poster doesn't have the.
It doesn't have the.
The letterbox site doesn't have the.
No the.
But the Wikipedia does have the. Yeah.
Hell. Right.
All right. So it is a sequel to the big hit... the big profit-making film Hitman's Bodyguard. From 2018, was it? Or 17?
I forget where it was.
Which was also directed by Patrick Hughes. This one's screenplay by Tom O'Connor, Brandon Murphy, and Philip Murphy. And stars, of course, Rai Rai, Samuel L., Salma Hayek, Frank Grillo, Antonio Banderas, Morgan Freeman, and Richard E. Grant in a 3-second blink and you're missing cameo.
I was like, it's Richard E. Grant.
What the fuck is he doing in this movie? But anyway, it's way longer than 100 minutes. It felt like 100. It's 116 minutes long, I'm sure.
Is it?
Well, I looked at my watch when we got out of there and it was 2 hours.
Okay. I didn't think it felt that long. Okay, we'll talk.
And obviously, it hasn't made any money yet because it's sort of hasn't been released.
Quite released, yeah.
Wayne, what is Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard about?
Okay, bodyguard Michael Bryce, Rai Ran, and Hitman Darius Kincaid reunite reluctantly on another life-threatening mission. This time, while still unlicensed and under scrutiny, Bryce is forced into action by Darius's even more volatile wife, Sonia Kincaid, who is an international con artist. And Bryce is driven over the edge by these two, like, dangerous-ass people. The trio get in over their heads in a global plot, and soon they find that they're all standing between Europe and a vengeful and powerful madman played by Antonio Banderas.
By the way, we both felt the need to do that.
Right.
We'll get on to that in a moment. Now, according to Rotten Tomatoes, the film has an approval rating. We're going to find out here where Wayne stands. Uh-oh. Of 34% based on 31 reviews. And the Metacritic score has an average weighted score of 31 out of 100 based on 15 reviews. So it's pretty early in the piece that we're getting to this one. Wayne, not pleased. All right, Wayne, give us your reaction to this sequel to what was a surprisingly decent film you and I both thought.
Agreed. The first one, great, right?
Look, great. Strong word.
I thought it was great. All right.
Hard 3, soft 3.5 stars.
Okay.
In my book.
Okay. All right. I love that one. And I love this one. That's right. I can't believe the world has an issue with this. Everyone, here's what I think is awesome, okay? This film, first of all, straight up, okay? This kind of senseless debauchery and mayhem can put a smack on your face. It's like, it's funny. This is a funny-ass movie, okay? Salma Hayek being crude is hilarious.
Yep.
Didn't think it would
very
be.
Very funny. Yep.
But it was well.
I would agree.
Ryan Reynolds is playing Ryan Reynolds, sure. All right? But he's totally killing it as Ryan Reynolds. He is hella fun to watch. I maintain that the dynamic of how Ryan Reynolds gets caught up in this again, the movie just leans into it. And they're like, yeah, it's ridiculous. But who cares? Who cares? Okay? I got all the laughs I needed. We both brought a guest to this premiere.
Yep.
All right? And both guests laughing their asses off, okay? As was the cinema, unless I'm mistaken.
Well, I think you are mistaken to a point.
Bollocks!
The first half of the film, lots of laughs. Lots of people really getting into it and seemingly enjoying it. The second half, the laughs, like the movie, fade the fuck away.
They didn't fade the fuck away. It was just that they had to get action towards the end. By the way, Paul tried to hit a fucking a soundboard button then and it fucked up. It was the best thing ever. Didn't work out. He's like, damn it. Okay.
But thanks for calling attention to it.
No problem. Sure, listen, it's not Shakespeare, but so what? It's not trying to be Shakespeare. It's trying to be funny, and there were laughs aplenty. I was still laughing towards the end, man. Still laughing like a motherfucker. A lot of callbacks and shit.
Let's try again.
Oh, God. Wow, I'm certainly glad we waited for this one.
Terrible films and television shows.
What's your problem, Paul? What's your fucking problem?
I agree with you. The first half, I thought the film was funny. And I'm like, as a comedy, this film is really succeeding.
Damn
as
right.
an action film, meh.
It's a comedy action, if anything.
It's not that the action scenes are not well filmed. They're not well choreographed. There's nothing overly sexy or entertaining about them. What carries the film in the first half is the interaction particularly between Salma and Ryan Reynolds. Samuel Jackson weighs in his usual stick.
Yeah,
that's fine. But that wears thin. And some of the jokes which they try to pepper throughout don't pay off. Like his fucking obsession with getting registered again as a AAA bodyguard. by the halfway point of the film, I'm like, fucking who cares? And it leads to, which I won't spoil, obviously, in this non-spoiler section, because we'll be very careful, leads to one of the most ridiculous conclusions to a film I think I've ever seen.
I didn't mind it.
Left me with the most sour taste, and that dropped a full half a star for me, that last... The last moon as beat? Yeah, last two beats of the film. Okay. Terrible.
Look, I will tell you that I will say to you that the shaky cam on the that actually got to me. This that second unit director, I assume. I don't know what happened.
No. This is the main action scenes, right? So Patrick Hughes has this style where he wants to get up close like a green grass, okay? But instead of just hack cutting it and shaking the shit out of it, he's trying to do it into these one shots which are shaky and then composited with CG to get it through.
Yeah.
And he does that because, well, let's face it, Samuels is an old man now and Absolutely. He can't do his action scenes, which he probably wants to do.
Yeah.
And while Rai Rai, no doubt, could manage himself okay, he's no Tom Cruise, who is in that particular regard.
Sure.
And so where he swings the camera around in this...
He's got to cut in stunts.
Yeah, sort of fluid style, but it's all this shakiness. And you realize by halfway through, I'm like, this is his one fucking trick that he's got. Every action scene is the same.
Do you think that... The issue I had with it more is that
all of your arguments are like my
that was the best to one.
Only fucking just touching shit and dropping badass sounds, which is no different to what.
Okay, sorry, my apologies. That wasn't
that's cool. That's cool. Because he's like you said, close up. The shaky cam doesn't work because it's too confusing. If he was booming back a bit and had like
no, but then you have to see your actors.
Yeah, so you're saying he's cutting in via shaky cam edits.
Well, there's that swinging camera, right? So it's around him, it goes between, then it has this sort of fluidy first fast motion, which is the CG. No, the first time it was cool. By the sixth time, I'm like, this is all you've got. This is your one trick.
Yes, but he's using that. It's just like in Sherlock Holmes where they do the thing where they, you know, they foreshadow, and then they show you the whole scene. It's the device by which they're showing you action, which they use many times in Sherlock Holmes, which is awesome. This one here, this is fine too. Again, look, I didn't say it was
not at all.
Like I said, the execution shut me off a little bit because it was too close. Yep. I will tell you that. So fair enough. But I mean,
Salma Hayek's the best thing about this movie.
Would agree.
Elevating her. From being a very minor bit part of the first one to being a main player in this one gives it a little bit of life, a little bit of freshness.
Totally. So, and it becomes a whole different movie. I will agree with you that the idea that he's so obsessed with getting his AAA rating back is probably... Look, it's the device by which they hang parts of the plot in and certain characters come in and offer him that. And that's why it's an important part of his character. Yes, it doesn't ring particularly true. But again, I'm there to laugh. And I did. So,
yeah,
I mean...
Okay. And that's all you're looking for. Whereas I was looking to laugh, be entertained, and be like, wowed by the action.
Really?
In the first one, I kind of was. Maybe no, because my expectations
was, the first were
so low of the first one. Everything felt new and fresh and interesting. This one, I wouldn't say high expectations, because this is a sequel no one asked for, not even you.
That's true. I didn't know they were making it.
Yeah, and bam, out it comes, sort of. And I think it's been brought forward as well. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's go. Great. Premiere screaming. This will be a lot of fun. And it was fun for half the film. And unfortunately, that's what my grade will reflect.
I am surprised. I liked it all. Well, look, there was probably the bits in any movie, which is usually right after an action scene, there'll be this dull bit. That's when I took a piss.
Yep.
Right?
Following on from our usual Ask thing. Us Anything that's video.
Like, I'm the fucking piss master, man. I came back and it's just another action sequence starting. So,
Can we also just emphasize here, the villain and the plot around the villain is so C-grade James Bond. It's almost laughable.
Yeah, but I think that was the point.
Yeah, but it's terrible. Antonio Banderas is terrible, this movie. And he's a Spaniard. Why is a Spaniard playing a Greek tycoon?
I don't know about that.
Why can't we just have a Greek tycoon play... Well, not tycoon, but a Greek actor play a Greek tycoon. Is it that hard?
Here's what. Now, I think I could be wrong
here. From Europe. That's close enough, isn't it?
No, but think about this. Frank Grillo, I think, might have a Greek heritage. He could have been the villain.
Would have been better. And Frank Grillo completely wasted this movie as well.
Okay, I will tell you that. Frank Grillo, I wanted to see more from him because I loved his CIA.
He's Interpol agent.
Interpol agent, yeah. Okay. It's like this American Interpol agent, right? I don't know how many of those there are, but they're only American as fuck all.
It's Frank Grillo.
It's Frank Grillo, okay. But his whole thing where he's like, you know, someone saying some shit and this Scottish girl translate, like, what the fuck did he say? Scottish girl translate in her thick Scottish accent. And he's like, now what the fuck did you say? That shit is great. Yeah,
in the first part of the film, when he first came in, then I expected to get Frank Grillo to get his action beat on.
You know, he's a couple. No.
Why do you cast Frank Grillo in this movie?
You know what it is? It's because it's a Sam Jackson movie, It's a fucking, you know, Ryan Reynolds got a reasonable name now. This first movie did well. The agent's like, yo, we got a part right here. It's not exactly that good. And it's not like it's the main villain or not even lead, whatever.
You could make it your own.
No, but it is a bigger movie. Do you know what I mean? It's Salma Hayek, you know? So like, I'll go in there and they would have paid him whatever. And he just did that thing. You're right. I could have used a little Frank Grillo. In fact, I think I like Frank Grillo.
I'm a big fan of Frank Grillo.
Yeah, so
he does. He does shit. This is the thing. He does some films like this. He did Boss Level, which was great.
Boss Level, great.
You know, he's a good villain in the MCU.
Absolutely.
So, you know, and he appears in fucking Jiu Jitsu, and you're just like, Frank, what? Your agent needs to be fired.
Maybe all those were recorded before. I dare say his full rate is a bit better these days. Well, I'm just guessing.
I hope so for his sake. But yeah, I was just disappointed that they didn't use him. And then we'll have to wait for, you know, Morgan Freeman's in the film. We won't reveal how.
We'll just say that don't expect a lot.
No. But he's 83 or 84 years old, Morgan Freeman. So
he looks better now than he did in that Gerard Butler movie.
Well, you know.
Do you think?
I think Jared Butler drags you down.
Yeah.
Whatever film, point. However you look.
No, but yeah, exactly.
So you thought it was really funny. You really enjoyed it. Mm. I thought it was funny for half the film and I enjoyed the first half and then it lost me. Completely lost me. I didn't find it funny
anymore.
Was it
the pace that lost you?
The pacing, the lack of funniness. And I expected then the action would pick up to compensate, and it never does.
Wow. Okay.
So that's my take.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm the other way on it, obviously. I think it was good all the way through. I mean, I'm not saying it was a perfect film, but I'm saying it told you what it wanted to do, and then it did it for me.
Sure.
So, okay, cool.
All right. Well, that's the non-spoiler section. If you're a fan of the first one, absolutely check it out. Although I have heard from a few people that were fans of the first one who didn't like this at all. I guess I'm not at all. I did not like it at all.
That intrigues me.
Yeah, so be warned is what we'll say. Now, you can switch off here if you haven't seen the film. But if you have, or you just don't care, then we've got some more for you after Jack.
You can't handle the truth!
Okay. Well, apparently Wayne may not be able to handle the truth because the rest of the world doesn't seem to like this film, but you do.
That's right. I'm the guy waving the torch. Let me just say one thing, though, okay? There's a bit where I actually bellowed laughing.
Okay.
And that would be where Salma Hayek has to pose as a British person, right? And her and Ryan Reynolds are walking into this nightclub where all the gangsters are. And he's like, okay, you're supposed to be British, so how's your British accent? And she says, I don't know the exact words, but it was like, my British accent is fucking fine, you fucking cunt. And she says it really badly like that. I didn't expect it. I didn't expect her to say cunt, right?
That was funny.
And I was like, ah! I was just pissed myself, right? So it's shit like that. And that was relatively late in the film, wasn't it?
No, that was before that they were just being co-opted by Interpol.
Around the middle? No,
like around the middle. At the end of the first act. It's in the funny half. Let's try. Let me emphasize one thing which also dropped my score. In the first film, Darius makes a very strong point that Salma Hayek, you know, smoking hot goddess that she is, he picked up from a dive bar in Mexico. Yes. She's a nobody.
Oh, yeah, good point. Now she's an international con artist.
I'm like, for fuck's sake.
I didn't bump into it because in the end, she was already a badass when he met her in that bar. So she may have, like, they didn't mention her being a con artist for sure, but then again, she was just a piece there.
It's just,
if you introduce her that, oh, by the way, she's an international con artist, I'm like, I actually don't have a problem with that. We didn't say
why can't she just be handy with a gun like she was in the first
film? Because she has to have a plot beat with Antonio Banderas where she's the long lost mistress of his. Right. Do you know what I mean? That's why it was there. So
fucking, and at least they name checked Overboard to make it
kind
of funny.
That was piss funny. Overboard jokes are hilarious. Come on now. Let's go. Like, it's actually, I've seen Overboard with Kurt Russell. That shit's funny, man. I'm telling you, it's on. It's on this movie.
No, this film is not on.
Couple of little Easter eggs.
Go on.
Okay. When Brian Reynolds is fighting in the bar, he picks up a bottle of his own aviation gin.
I did laugh at that too. Yeah.
And then when it's like, they show that, you know, the news reports, like, these three wanted fugitives, and there's a shot of Ryan Reynolds in a Christmas sweater. And he's like, where did they find that picture from? It's actually that famous-ish Instagram post of his where he's at a party and Hugh Jackman's on the one side and Jake Gyllenhaal's on the other side just in normal clothes.
Right.
And it's like, these fucking assholes told me it was a Christmas sweater party.
Right.
And I was like, that shit. So I thought, this is all good funny shit. It's almost meta.
Yeah, well, that is meta. Okay, absolutely. So you have to understand his place in the real world to get those jokes.
Yeah, so I think if you're a Rye Ren fan, you'll like it more.
I'm calling him Rye Rye. You call him Rye Ren, do you?
Rye Ren.
Oh, who's Ryan Rye Reynolds?
Rye Rye. Rye Rye is Rye. Usually Rye Gauze is Rye Rye. I find Ryan.
Can we just call him by the full fucking name?
No, Ryan Ren is great. If I was Ryan Reynolds, I would have that on a T-shirt if I was Ryan Reynolds. Man, I Ryan Ren, my boy.
Well, you can be Wayru.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me.
Wayar.
What is it good for?
Look, Morgan Freeman ends up being Ryan Reynolds. What's his name?
Bryce.
Bryce's dad.
Right.
So adopted at whatever
and
point.
And that scene itself was funny too, where like Sam Jackson's like, the fuck? It's like, why is, you know, once he wants to say, why is he black, right?
He does, but he doesn't.
He does, but he doesn't. Yeah, I know. Yep. But it was, but it's, I find that quite amusing. You know, I know, I like racial humor.
Yeah, I was like, eh, whatever. It's fine. So that we've got Morgan Freeman in there now.
Yeah.
That was all okay. And but then when they get caught by the bad guy, yes. Well, clearly Morgan Freeman's a bad guy. He set them up.
Yes.
Never crosses anyone else's mind in this movie. I'm like, fuck's sake, you want your AAA rating? Grow a fucking brain. Really weak plot writing, I thought.
Still, though, if your dad sent you somewhere and he's like, I want to take care of you and this and that, and then you get fucked up. Oh, dad, you know what happened? I'd probably fucking do that dumb shit. I wouldn't expect my dad to sell me down the river.
Given their strained relationship.
He seemed warm enough when he turned up, no?
Not to remember? No, he was criticizing him.
Sort of ragging him a bit. Yeah. Perhaps you're right. I don't know. I don't know.
And meanwhile, again, this whole time, it's all between Darius and Sonia. They're wanting to have a kid.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure about the ages in this in that moment. But anyway, fine.
Can we assume that they're both 60?
I don't know. In real life, Selma Hayek's like mid-50s.
Is she? Okay.
Yep. And Samuel Jackson's 72 or something.
Yeah, Sam Jackson probably, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Darius is not meant to be 72.
Is he meant to be about 60, though?
I don't know. I would. Who knows? Late 50s,
yeah,
maybe?
Tell. Yeah, okay. All right, fine. Yep. Okay, I'm fine with that. Yeah, look, the whole I want to have a baby thing, I was like, that's actually had a bigger problem with that. I'm like, first of all, don't be murderers and then have a baby.
Yeah.
You'll make a murder baby.
And that's a line of gags around that, right, in the film.
But secondly, you're probably too old.
But then she makes a decision. We can adopt. And she's like, yeah. And then, oh, she's becoming maternal to him. And oh, that fucking last joke.
The last joke was fine. It's a good way to do it. It's a fine way to end it. It's like, what? No. Like, oh, there's laughs. That's no. The last one that happened.
Again, he just signs a piece of paper, doesn't read what it says. Come on.
The big thing was like, he signs a piece of paper and just assumes that it's him getting his license.
Yes. Some say he doesn't read the paper. Did you read something and say, Dumb. The terrible, terrible sort of final fights. Oh, the...
Oh, what? Wasn't that?
The fights between... that.
Because it's a very gory film, I'll tell you.
Yeah, there was some gratuitous violence. Might like that. Yeah, that sort of helped a little bit. But yeah. Again, it's the kind of film where if you're a main character, you are absolutely bulletproof. There are literal scenes where they stand there and bullets ricochet around them, killing everyone else and they don't ever catch a bullet.
Now, interesting you should say that because I think there's a moment in the film where Ryan Reynolds gets actually run over by a car.
Twice.
And he's fine. Yeah, twice. The second then time he actually flies in the air.
Then hit by a
boat. Hit by a boat, right? And then it's like, oh, he's just fine again. So it's like, oh, okay, this is a Looney Tunes fucking comic. Yeah. This is one of the cartoons.
I just think it took it too far for me.
Okay.
It's too silly.
Once I bought in on that, I'm like, yeah, fine, do whatever. It just made me laugh. And so I got it. So, wow, man. That was a big rag on by you.
Yeah. I hated Antonio Banderas' character. I hated his motivations. I hate just, it's dumb.
Don't mind me some Tony.
No. Terrible, terrible Bond villain piece. He's just, again, Looney Tunes-ing it up.
Yeah, but this is the Val Kilmer role in MacGruber. It's just like, it's the famous-ish guy.
This is more real.
Yeah, it's a little more MacGruber than it is like Beverly Hills Cop, say. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's not that kind of action comedy.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
Yeah, so I, all right. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
right.
I don't have
strokes
much, more,
for folks, baby. That's
much
it.
More to say about it. Big surprise. They all live supposedly happily ever after. And now Bryce is their adopted child. I just, what the fuck?
I say this is exactly what you want if you're looking to do fuck all but sit around and laugh.
Here's what I'll guarantee you. We're not seeing the hitman's child's bodyguards.
Well, we won't be around for that.
No, my point is there won't be a third film in this franchise. This is the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
This film is going to tank, and I think it's going to tank pretty hard.
You know, I could probably take a spin-off with Frank Grillo. Wouldn't you say?
And his Scottish
Yeah, yeah, the Scottish girl. That would be a whole movie of that. I'll watch the shit out of that.
Oh, wait. All right, look.
You are a sad, yeah, strange
balls,
little man.
Eat all the balls.
Let's give it a score and wrap this bad boy up, Wayne. What are you scoring it?
72.
Wow.
That's right.
Bullshit.
I actually had that score in my head as I was walking around the house today before you came over. I'm like, you know what? It is a 72. It's a 72.
How would you like to show
72,
my balls?
72, mother flipper.
72.
Yeah, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, baby.
All right, well, I'm going to give it a flat 50.
At least it passed.
Yeah.
See?
The barest
if all pass. Really ended, he'd be on 33s and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, look, again, if it wasn't for the fact that I laughed a lot the first 45 minutes to an hour, this film would have been an absolute fail. But as a comedy, I thought it was really succeeding. And then the last dry up, and I'm just like, well, it's just like watching a fucking straight comedy because the action is not saving it.
Fine. I was looking for a comedy. And also, the girl who was with us, like, she actually said she started crying laughing. So you see, it's a case of not being poor.
Or indeed, any of the critics that are out there. So anyway, your mileage may vary. Let's see what you think. I think we're the first people I know to have reviewed it, so I can't compare to other shows.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out in due course.
Word.
All right. Well, you can let us know what you thought of The Hitman or just Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. Like and follow the show through Podbean, where we host. Check out the Facebook listener community, where I'm sure we'll be discussing this with the listeners of the show. Link in the show notes. And finally, ccradio.com.au for the other shows of the network, Comic Confidential, and the soon-to-be-extremely famous Believe, because the host of that show is on The Project before, at some point in the
not
near
even
future.
Today, tonight, Kate, The Project.
The Project.
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. And that is it from us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Where is your honor, dirtbag? You are an absolute disgrace.
70 fucking 2.
Fuck you.
We'll catch you next time.